Right now, there's talk this week of a possible end to the writer's strike in Hollywood. Even so, it may be too late for producers to pull off the big season finales. And that's where you come in. We want to know how you would write the season finale for your favorite show. Be creative. Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or drop us an email. That's at talk@npr.org. To get us started, New York Magazine asked a handful of writers to come up with endings for the shows they watch. We'll talk with three of them, starting with Danny Chun. He's a writer for The Simpsons, and he helped write an alternate ending for The Office. He's in the studio at NPR West. Good to have you with us, Danny.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And before we get to your finale, we're going to listen to a clip of the last episode of The Office that aired. And in this scene, Michael, played by Steve Carell, and Jan, played by Melora Hardin, are driving to New York to testify against the company that Michael works for, Dunder Mifflin.
Tell him how much you're going to get if you win.
Come on, Michael, that's tacky.
$1 million.
$4 million.
$4 million! That is a lot of guacamole, a lot of the green, a lot of green. That is why I have memorized Jan's answers.
Oh.
And I've also thrown in some ers and ahs,
oh,
just
Michael,
to make it seem like it's not memorized.
Oh, come on.
Perfect crime.
Stop saying ridiculous things. He's just going to tell the truth. The truth is very, you know, complicated, so we went over it carefully and just so that we wouldn't leave anything up to chance or Michael's judgment.
Could we please pull over and pull down the top? I do not
Michael,
feel good.
Michael, I told
good.
You, I'm not putting
carsick.
The top down.
Ugh, I'm going to puke. I think I'm going to
All
fall.
Right, fine. Just a second. Hold on.
Okay, Danny. So tell us, what's the backstory here? So for those who don't follow the show that closely.
So I guess sort of the arc for Steve Carell's character this season is that his life is kind of deteriorating. He's running out of money. He's in a kind of abusive relationship with a kind of a train wreck of a woman. And so she is suing the company that they both worked for. She is no longer working there, and so he is sort of forced to choose between the company that he loves and his girlfriend.
All right. Now, I take it that deposition didn't go very well. We can assume that?
Yeah, that was an amazing episode. That's the last one we saw. The deposition went horribly, and it ended up basically with Michael being sort of humiliated in front of his bosses and also alienating his girlfriend who didn't really back up the way that he said he would in that scene we heard.
All right. So where do you take the characters from there?
So we figured that the natural progression would be to then sort of transplant them into a post-apocalyptic wasteland. So that's sort of that's the way that our piece turns out. We have one of the characters, Phyllis. She gets a flu, and we sort of had a couple of what we thought were pretty observational office jokes about the way that the office would react if somebody came to work with the flu. And then from there, the flu worsens and she vomits black blood and dies. And then they are all quarantined, and then they realize that the world around them has kind of deteriorated, and now the entire country is plunged into anarchy. And then eventually a new sort of hippie cult government forms around Brother Peace, the Groove Pope of the Neon Nation.
I can see why you write for The Simpsons, actually.
These are things that we're trying to write. We basically have our sort of nerd obsessions, and this was one situation where we could sort of sneak them in without having to get them by the boss.
Why such an apocalyptic end for our little cast of characters in The Office there?
Well, we just thought that, I mean, the alternative was to sort of try to be accurate to the show, which we thought we would be bad at, especially because...
Oh,
because, I mean, we don't want to be, like, we are fanboys of The Office, but uh-huh. we didn't want to be fanboys because we also have our own dignity as writers, and we didn't want to embarrass ourselves by trying to do something that, you know, people we know and respect do a lot better, I'm sure. So instead, we thought that it would be pretty funny if you took this sort of mundane observational humor, workplace humor that they do so well, and transplant it into basically, like, The Road by Cormac McCarthy or The Stand by Stephen King or something.
So you guys are a little intimidated by taking on The Office, it sounds like, The Simpsons.
It's hard. I mean, we know those guys and we respect them a lot. And it's just, you know, it's a thing that, I mean, nobody does sort of observational humor better than them. So we had to sort of not even try.
All right. Well, we're going to bring in another writer now, Sarah Kasurka. She is a writer for Ugly Betty. Along with her writing partner, she wrote an ending for Gossip Girl. She's also at NPR West. Good to have you with us, Sarah.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Glad you guys have all this free time that you could join us. No, not really. But
a lot of time on the picket lines.
Okay. So we do have a clip also from Gossip Girl, where Gossip Girl left off. And in this scene, Serena, played by Blake Lively, stops Blair, played by Leighton Meester, from running away to Paris.
Is there a reason you're here?
Stay. Don't let some stupid scandal make you run away like it did me. Like it does everyone in our world.
Everything's horrible. My whole life is falling apart.
So rebuild it. You're a Waldorf, remember? People don't tell you who you are. You tell them. Stay and fight.
All right, Sarah, I have to confess I have absolutely no idea what's going on. So you're going to have to fill us in a little bit on where things are before you tell us what you made up.
No problem. Okay. That scene was basically the tail end of the last episode that's aired so far. And that was Blair and Serena, their best friends, living on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And Blair has just been exposed to her entire school for sleeping with her boyfriend's best friend. Everybody knows she's kind of the prissy good girl up until this point, and so it's, you know, the tables have turned on her, and suddenly she's kind of the slut, if you will, in school, whereas she's kind of been the one to vilify that girl so far. And she is going to go run away to Paris to live with her father. It's just a little bit of a dream world that they live in. And her best friend, Serena, is trying to convince her to stay and saying, you know, fight for who you are.
So does she stay?
Or She does stay.
Okay.
All yes.
Right. And then tell me about the storylines that you came up with to sort of end this season for Gossip Girl.
Well, we kind of took a little bit of the convention of the show, which is they have a voiceover of Gossip Girl, quote unquote, which is the actress Kristen Bell's voiceover, and is kind of this, you know, heavy alliteration thing that it gives you the gossip throughout the entire season. And so we kind of tried to do it in the voice of Gossip Girl for the three episodes. And the first one that we did is the breakup of Serena with her boyfriend Dan. They're kind of the perfect couple up until this point, and we decided, you know, he's from the wrong side of the track, she's the rich girl. Their worlds kind of tear them apart. Then the next one we did was kind of revolved around the character of Blair, and now that she's been, you know, taken down by all of these girls at her school, she turns her back on men and turns her life to Jesus. As we say,
that sounds plausible.
Exactly.
Based on what you've said so far.
And you know, we had fun with it. We kind of thought the character herself, the actress who plays her, looks a little bit like the one of the characters on Friday Night Lights who became a born again Christian. So we were kind of poking fun at that little world and the actress's similarities.
Is it really different to think about another program other than your own? I mean, is it really different to try and put your mind into this other kind of, it's another genre, really, isn't it? Or is it?
It is, yeah. I think, as a TV writer, I know a lot of us love television. That's why we're in it, and we watch it a lot. And when we watch it, we sit there and try and guess what's going to happen in the next
mm-hmm,
scene.
Mm-hmm.
So this was just kind of a natural extension of that. You know, what's going to happen in the next six episodes.
All right, now I want to remind our listeners they're being very shy about calling up and offering their own season finales for their favorite shows. So I want to remind you that we want you to give us a call if you have an idea about how you want your show to end, or a good ending for your show that's sort of in abeyance right now. Give us a call. The number is 800-989-8255. We have gotten some emails. Obviously, some folks are writing about Lost. Everybody wants to know how that's going to end, right? Forget the season. For the season finale of Lost, I would introduce 38 new characters and 922 new questions without answering any of the previous questions, and then finish it on a cliffhanger. Oh, wait a minute. That's how they end every season of Lost.
Oh.
True.
That's from Jim in Wichita, Kansas. But actually, Lost just started up again. So, and here's one for The Medium. She has a terrible dream that the show is canceled. No matter what she does, she can't prevent this from happening. Pan back. Her husband is in the bed shaking her. He can't wake her up. I don't know if anybody's ever watched The Medium, but that sort of fits in pretty well with what goes on in that program. All right, so we're going to bring in a third writer now, I hope that you're standing by. Laura Gusses,
I'm right here.
Great. Story editor for Dexter, and I understand you wrote an alternative ending for Grey's Anatomy. Is that right?
I did. Thanks
for
having me.
We're going to hear a clip from the last episode of Grey's Anatomy. Here it is.
You don't want to build a life with me. You want someone. You want someone who wants the same things that you want.
Oh, I knew the minute I showed you this plan that you'd find some reason to walk away.
So what, you called my bluff?
I did, because I can't do this anymore. I can't do the fighting, the back and forth. I can't. Are we together or are we not?
We were together. I was in love with you. You didn't tell me you were married.
Okay, so now we're going to have that fight again.
You didn't tell me about your nurse. You want to know why I'm not ready to build a house with you. This is why, because I cannot trust you.
You can't trust anybody.
Well, anyone who's ever watched Grey's Anatomy has seen that scene a couple of times. And before we get to your finale, I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So, Lauren, fill us in. What was going on there, and where did we leave things with Grey's Anatomy, and where did you take it from there?
Well, that was Meredith and Derek, who have had an on-again, off-again, on-again, on-again, off-again thing for the past several seasons of Grey's Anatomy. And things finally came to the head in the last aired episode where Derek actually shows her his house plans because he plans on having both of them live in it because he's putting his cards on the table. He's ready to make a commitment. And he's also testing her, and she fails the test because she panics and tells him that she can't move into the house with him.
And so where did you take it from there?
Well, you know, in the first episode, I have Meredith deciding that she wants him back the minute that he breaks up with her.
Of course.
Right. But he's too late. He mentions a nurse in that last clip. It's because he has kissed his new love interest. Mm-hmm. So I have him asking her to marry him because he's such a commitment addict, even though they've never actually had a real date. and then Miranda, her husband tries to serve her with divorce papers, but she's too busy to receive them because there's been a whole long running gag in the season that she's too busy for him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then in the next one, I have Alex and Lexi, which is Meredith's stepsister, half-sister, have a hot three-way with Rebecca, who's the Jane Doe, who has come back yet again. And then in the break room at the same time on the bottom bunk, George and Christina sleep with each other because Christina was jealous and ever competitive and wanted to make sure that she slept with George too because everyone else had. And then when Izzy found out, she stalked and unsuccessfully tried to kill Christina. And then
this is better than the real ending, I think. I got to tell you.
Yeah. The next one, Izzy is actually committed to the psych ward of Seattle Grace. And Christina's pregnant with George's baby and decides not to tell George. And then Derek goes on an epic search for Burke, who has tried to be a professional mountain man / fly fisherman, a la Into the Wild. And Derek has to rescue him because he needs him to be his best man.
All right.
And
is there more? Wait.
Yeah, there's more.
Oh, okay, go on.
And then in the end, Richard realizes that Meredith is as desperate as he is, so he makes a pass at her. And then finally, Meredith finds out the big reveal that Richard is actually her father and Thatcher isn't, after making out with him.
All right. Okay. I want to see that. I want to see those episodes. We have somebody online who also, I think, has an idea for Grey's Anatomy. Nancy. Nancy from Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, is this Nancy?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, my thought is that since Fred Townsend ran for president, I think, like, the character should run for president. And, you know, you can have people from, like, Grey's Anatomy and, you know, Ugly Betty and some of the other people just run for president. It would sort of solve the writers thing right now, and then, you know, I think it would be really kind of interesting to see how the characters would be.
All right, so they're all going to become politicians.
Yeah, but in real life. It'd be sort of like a reality show, too. Blending of the two.
I don't know if these writers are going to approve of more reality shows.
My mind's
they're really in character, so they'd have to be. They're half seat writers.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling, Nancy.
Bye.
All right, we're going to try Brad from, he's calling from California, and I think he's calling us about Lost. Hello, Brad.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling about the way I wanted Lost to end.
Yeah, how'd you like it to end?
Actually, I just recently saw the movie Cloverfield, and I think it'd be really cool if they connected that to it somehow.
All right, what do you guys think about that end? I haven't seen Cloverfield, so I don't know.
I shouldn't be saying this, but actually that is the ending, I know. I know some of that lost. So you have to keep your mouth shut about that. Yeah. That's what happens.
Prepare really for is. Monsters.
All right, the truth is stranger than fiction. Okay, thanks for your call, Brad. And here are a couple of emails. Let's see what you guys think about this. I think the Love Boat should pick up the people on Lost along with the Gilligan's Island crew and take them to some remote island and make a reality show, making one of them a famous pop star like American Idol.
Oh, only if Charo gets to be a judge.
Right, we don't have much time left. I'm wondering if any one of you has thought about any of the programs that your colleagues work for and how they should end. Anybody got some thoughts about that?
Well, you know, Sarah, I actually was going to have Callie and Erica get together, and then I found out that you guys were doing a lesbian kiss, so I just couldn't go there.
Oh, man. I love all of these shows. What would I?
I'm a huge Wire fan. I don't know. Do you guys watch The Wire? You have to watch it.
I don't.
But I don't know. In my opinion, for people who watch The Wire, there's an amazing scene where one of like the toughest guys on the show, Omar, you see him like with his gay boyfriend in like this sort of Caribbean hideaway. So I just kind of wish that the last like 8 episodes would just be watching this like this gunman just kind of hang out in the tropics.
And have a good
boyfriend,
time.
Like, drinking margaritas and stuff.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
They go right, Lost.
Well, thanks to all of you for joining us today. Danny Chun is a writer for The Simpsons. Sarah Kasurka writes for Ugly Betty. And Lauren Gussis is a story editor for Dexter. All three joined us from NPR West. Their alternative endings and several others can be read in the latest issue of New York Magazine. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.